I think it's good. All right.
We're back.
Hopefully this time, we've been back, but they haven't been making it to everyone.
Yeah, we've been back, but we, including you, are now back.
Are now back. We're going to put this out as a podcast. We're going to also put out the video, and hopefully you will enjoy it.
Yeah. When we decided to record this, for a moment, frustrated, maybe a little judgmental, I shouldn't have been, but it irritated me that maybe people just listen to audio or watch videos just to feel good, because it gives them an illusion that they're making progress. Like, oh yeah, I'm doing good stuff. I listen to Sam Harris's podcast every week. You know, I'm learning a lot, making great spiritual progress. But it really could just be zombie watching Netflix. And so I would say the burden is really on you. I hope to do it every day. I try to. I definitely get lost sometimes. But each of us as an individual needs to make the own push for progress in our own lives.
The gauntlet has been laid.
Yeah.
Challenge to you to make the progress. This is just, as we used to call it, IM. Hamevin Yavin.
Hamevin Yavin.
But hopefully not all M's were created equal, and there could be higher quality ones, and this will be one of your best sessions to date.
Amen.
Amen. Oh man, it's a crazy time. This has been nuts. It's been nuts. I'm thriving though. I'm enjoying the change of pace.
Yeah, I think it was much. I mean, it's horrible to say this with all the suffering, but I think it was much needed for society. To quote a rabbi of mine, it is a romantic era we are living in.
It's a romantic era, yeah. Definitely the cries, the music, the poetry, and I've been seeing it from many of you, and I've been impressed by it. And we have a holiday coming up, so really it's perfect launch pad into this moment.
Yeah, and not just the produced art, the way even non-artists are living their lives day to day, I see more spirit in it. People 100%. Are going slower, they're connecting more. It's amazing to see.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to say that you think it's a blessing, you know, when again, people are being obviously hurt, and if this is the end for you, then that, it's hard to see how that's a blessing.
But yeah.
I guess for whoever could appreciate it as a blessing, they should. What's the downside of everyone being just down about it?
Gamzu la tova. You're always allowed to see the good in things. Don't feel guilty for seeing the good in something that you think you need to see as a negative. I feel for others suffering, but I guess I need to say Gamzu la tova.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm losing money.
No. Yeah, the future is scary.
Future is scary, but it's different. Things changed, and the world was created such that we have all these changes and ups and downs and valleys and peaks and seasons and winter and summer, and we're getting to experience a different season. I saw Steinbeck said this, that he hates good weather. He likes good climate or something like that, making the distinction that he wants the ups and downs, the turbulence.
Yeah.
He likes the change, and he doesn't want it to just be
always warm. Be sunny and warm. I felt that way this morning, sort of. Like, I don't know if you would traditionally think of this as good weather. It's an overcast day, a little humid, crisp, but it's beautiful. And some days when it pours, that's beautiful too.
Yeah, I was in Prospect battling the window the other day trying to make a video, and it was not good weather.
It was not good climate.
It was terrible. It was raining. It wasn't raining bad. It was just terrible. I don't like wind, I'll say.
Yeah.
One weather that I don't like. If there's no wind, you could go ice cold on me.
Yeah. No, but once in a while, you want the wind. Think of a Caribbean island. You feel, or even just imagine an evening in the wilderness. You feel the wind. You feel God whispering. You feel the power of the universe in that current.
Yeah, we've been saying, I made that video, get outside, and like it's basic from a mental health standpoint that nature is healing, but really from a spiritual standpoint, I'm realizing that more and more, that there is a connection between the land and its words that it speaks to man in a spiritual kind of sense. And I'm reading Steinbeck, and I think he sees nature that way, so that's been helping.
Yeah. Yeah. I it's funny that you made the distinction mental health and spiritual. I don't know that I see much of a difference.
Sure, at the end game, but we're hearing a lot of, like, they dumb it down so much. Like, oh, go outside and it'll affect your mood in XYZ,
yeah,
you'll get vitamin D in this way, and the sounds are statistically proven, and it becomes this whole math problem. And they're not talking about the doors of your heart being open. There's no scientific words for saying that.
Yeah. Okay, I agree. The science is many times loses the forest for the trees.
Yeah, like Sam said about meditation, even if it weren't healthy for you, obviously there's a version of the word health where it is healthy for you.
Yeah, otherwise he wouldn't recommend it.
But really, really.
He's saying the scientific focus is too narrow, and we're not yet equipped to measure it accurately, but I know that it's good for the spirit. I guess that's what it means. It's good for the spirit.
It's good for the spirit.
It's outside of what
part
we can currently
us.
Measure, but I know it's true.
Yeah, it's a certain part of us, whatever they mean by it. I've been thinking a lot about that, what we mean by the soul or
yeah.
the spirit, and it's a long, deep conversation. But it's just making a distinction between parts that we could identify immediately as being more physical and things that we could identify as being other.
Yeah, that could eventually be measured, but right now are outside of our frameworks.
Yeah, it's just a distinction to be made in an experience.
Okay.
So, nature, getting out, I've been thinking a lot about that, and I know the virus is forcing us in. So that's hard.
Yeah.
Like, I've been walking down Ocean Parkway, paranoid of seeing people, and I don't know how to deal with it, and I wear the mask generally, and I think I'm pro the mask. I think it's embarrassing because it shows that you're nervous, but first of all, the mask is to protect others. So if you don't wear it, I find that even more insulting. I want you to be wearing your mask. Don't get it on me, just like you should want me to be wearing my mask. And also, we're walking all over each other, and it's good.
Yeah. On the getting outside part, I think even though it might be harder to get outside, it's definitely, I think, forming more positive habits in people, because now that you're not going outside to go to work or go wherever, you need to make a conscious effort to go outside for the sake of going outside, right? You're outside, you might have been your walk from your house to the subway.
For its sake, now lishma.
Now you're doing it lishma, and when things not go back to normal, but when we can go outside freely again, I think people are gonna have more of an understanding of the importance of the outdoors to them, and maybe we'll collectively get more time outside.
Yeah, hey, the outdoor piece is a piece of a bigger puzzle, just the entire pattern interrupt.
Yeah.
I think that's been huge. That we had these patterns, and some of them had good reason, and it's frustrating that those patterns are being stopped from functioning, because we built those for very specific reasons, and certain patterns, certain habits, were bad patterns that just existed for the sole sake of existing.
Yeah, we were stuck in, we're like a train stuck on the tracks, like we could only follow the grooves, and we had our habits, and now the train is pushed off the tracks, and we need a steer. And so we get to reconsider everything and really decide and realize what's important to us and what isn't. And that's profound.
Yeah, for sure. I've also been noticing this distinction. I wonder what you think about it. But certain people work because they work for someone else, which I basically see as slavery. I'm not sure how to think about it. There maybe are versions of that where it wasn't slavery, but to me that seems that way.
Yeah.
And then there are people who I see more worked for themselves. So obviously the first category is entrepreneurs. They're working in full, myself included, working in full thrust because the burden's on me. It never ends. There's no one to pass the baton back to and say, oh, he's going to take care of me. Yeah. No one's saving me. I'm going to save myself. So there's entrepreneurs. There's people who are serving God. So anyone in Kollel or learning, because their master God is still there and he doesn't. There's artists, because that calling, academics, the study of knowledge doesn't stop. In fact, there's more opportunity now. And I've always been biased towards those paths. And I thought that those are paths that we want to see more people taking. And I think now, if your other pattern got interrupted, I'm seeing a lot of people sitting on the couch, and maybe for some of them they needed it. Like I have a friend who, a different investment banker, and he's been working like a dog for years, so now he's waking up late watching Netflix, and the truth is maybe he deserves that. You know, I don't know if I would say that.
And it might even be therapeutic.
Might be therapeutic, he might deserve that. But like, for a lot of people, I keep saying this, that we wanted to leave Egypt to serve God full time. It wasn't that we wanted unemployment. We weren't looking for unemployment for unemployment's sake. We're lurking for unemployment to serve a different master, but a master who is more good than our boss was, than Pharaoh was.
So, great distinction. I don't know that I would, I think there are cases where employees are working for themselves in a way, or maybe it's not working for themselves, and maybe there's a third group where there's working together, there's a collective. Maybe you think of business partners. People who have to look out for themselves, and there's no one person who's taking care of them, but they know collectively that the group is taking care of them.
Right, then I would still think that those people would work, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm expecting my employees to ask me, what more can I do now? And if they're not asking me that, then I wouldn't work with them. I'm looking around and saying, who actually wanted to work with me?
Yeah.
As opposed to had these certain grooves that they were just fulfilling.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's more akin to a partnership. Even if there is an employee-employer relationship, technically, it's really a partnership, right? You're bringing together skill sets.
Correct.
To create value, to make progress.
Right, this is a partnership, and we're going to grow together, and I'm going to figure out a way to pass it along to you as we grow.
Yeah.
And we're developing skills together. That's another thing that I see in business, meaning what do I like most about it is that we're all learning together, and I'm seeing all these young people who I work with in particular growing. And it's like, so why would that stop?
Yeah, it shouldn't. Even some self-employed people, their business stops in a way, their traditional business. So I think some of it is just logistical. But it's definitely a time to pivot. Even taking what we would consider, I think I would consider work also to be self-improvement.
Right.
Or whatever it is.
Of course. But like, read halakha or whatever you want to book. Read books all day. No problem. That's work.
Yeah.
But you should still be waking up early and still working.
Yeah.
I don't see... Unless you have nothing that you thought to work on, no projects that you still wanted to work on after this thing stopped, whatever it was, the distraction stopped.
Yeah.
You want to distract further.
Yeah, you might have always wanted to learn an instrument, or you might have had a set of books you wanted to read.
You might want to connect with all your cousins.
Yeah.
And go through the list and call all them. The bar here is so low. You might want to do more chesed. You might have wanted to do...
Yeah, you just have time that could be filled with nothing, with wastefulness, and even to just make it slightly productive, is an opportunity.
Pause. I like the idea... All right. So one thing that we need to address for the people just listening to this is there is a visual component.
There's a visual component.
We have upped our game, and we are coming to you also via video, so you could enter the beautiful nature with us.
Yeah, those who are listening, they could probably hear the water, especially now.
Definitely hear that stream that we're sitting on. So if you're watching us visually, welcome to that new stage of our relationship.
Yeah.
If you're just audio. Yeah. Audio is good too.
Yeah, I mean that also. I think the sounds in nature add depth. and even impact our conversation, the fact that we're here next to the life force flowing.
By the way, did you see the shirt I was wearing for today's conversation?
Wow.
This was made for us by one of our fans.
No.
Listeners, I don't know the right word.
Wow, cold plunge. Oh. Wow, all the episode names.
One by one. Unbelievable. So, to celebrate its return.
Yeah, I noticed you were wearing it this this morning in prayers.
Nice. Yeah. Between the break, as we were relocating the camera, Bird asked me if there was any non-corona-related conversation. Why do you find that to be so important?
It's not necessarily that it's non-corona-related, but I think we definitely just made good ground, but we are also getting caught up in the same loop of information, conversations, ideas.
Mm.
And often the creativity, whatever field it's going to be applied to, comes when you break out of a thought loop and go somewhere fresh. And it'll also be refreshing to us personally to just to hear some regular ideas that are important too, that we're sort of forgetting about now.
Cool. So, yeah. Do you have a direction that you want to steer this boat?
I'm trying to remember. I did have a thought last night or yesterday or 2 days ago of a good conversation direction, but slipping my mind right now.
Yeah.
I can only think of Corona.
I've been obsessed with talking about water. Would you speak with me about water?
Sure.
So for those of you that were at my class on one of the Tuesday nights, I give that consistent fellowship class, and I know I had a great crowd there. I actually read with them Steinbeck, reading about the desert. And the way that Steinbeck portrays the desert is he says that it's away from water. He almost describes it as the sun at war with life. The sun is the enemy, the death rays of the sun. Water as core to life.
Yeah.
And as hiding itself under the ground in the bodies of the organisms. So this battleground of life versus non-life, I think that was incredible. We could break down that. And also he talked about water, about man away from the anxious water, staring out into the clear sky because there's no water in it, seeing the stars making contact and it being a place of consistent revelation throughout history. So both of those are incredible.
Okay, yeah. I guess let's start with the first one. Life versus not life, that tension. I have trouble even identifying what life is. We could look at a rock that's in our visual field outside of the shot. The rock we're sitting on actually in the previous shot. And like, to me that looks like a growth. And it's there because it exists, right? So it's what survived, not what didn't survive. And yeah, I don't know. Is it like something to be the rock? I have no idea. And then we could even step into things that we would more traditionally consider life, like a tree. And then animals, and then humans. And then between the rock and the tree is also another interesting ground. The tension, the water flowing. These systems where it seems like there's a current going through it. So
the movement looks like life, right? You have that movement.
Yeah. And I think that might be an illusion to we think movement is a sign of life, but is a roller coaster living if it's just running in a loop?
Right, a computer algorithm.
Yeah.
And that's not even physical motion now. It is, I guess, at base physical motion.
Yeah. I mean, electrical, yeah, it's physical.
It's somewhat physical, but it's becoming further and further from physical movement. Right, so how do we differentiate life from unlife? Okay, so that's a crazy, that takes the whole thing a different direction, but I guess he sees a difference in man battling man, which happens in civilization, life versus life.
Sure.
Life allying with non-life against other life.
But they use tools. The man picks up a spear, non-life.
And tries to actually kill someone, which is essential non-life.
Yeah.
And that versus a desert where it's clear. The enemy. The sun is the enemy. Maybe there's less life versus life.
Yeah.
It's not about competition in the desert for scarce resources, even though at core maybe it is.
Yeah.
But since there's less resources, it's less competitive there. Yeah. It's almost like, yeah, like an industry that doesn't have so many resources, yeah. So it's less competitive.
Yeah, but there's no water in the desert, and you're gonna go out looking for food, and what you're gonna find is probably a cactus, and you're gonna get your hydration by eating the flesh of the cactus, which has jellified water, which is much more hydrating, and you're gonna have killed life. In a way.
It's still life, right? Yeah, so that was my fluke still. At the end of the day, you're still gonna be life against life.
Yeah.
But, yeah, fine, but maybe even in the perception of the human,
yeah.
That there is an enemy that is non-human who is the main enemy, which, not to bring it back to our current conversation, but I've identified that enemy,
yeah.
Death. Okay. And the sun is the representative of death. It's the agent of death. And it's clear we want to live, and he is the agent of death.
Yeah.
As opposed to the resources.
Yeah.
Being and the other man who has the resources being the agent of death.
Yeah.
Or it's not even about that, right? It's about getting more resources. You're not even playing the life versus non-life game.
Yeah, you
anymore.
You want abundance, you want luxury.
Right, whereas there it's life that, versus non-life.
That's actually, uh-oh.
Are we being asked to... Are we not supposed to be enjoying this? Okay. Could we spend like a few more minutes here and then relocate? All right, perfect. We'll wrap up.
Thanks.
Yeah, you want everyone rolling through.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much. And thanks for being nice about it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that was one of the best interactions I've had with
a law
enforcement ever.
Ever.
Unbelievable.
We had it the other night when we were playing music in the Deal gazebo. And, what happened? They angrily came.
There was just tension. Yeah,
we were playing music. We were three brothers trying to have a spiritual moment, and we got molested.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess just to tack on to the point you were making, I think in service of life, right, in service of our avoidance of death, we bring about non-life to others. And that's really ironic, right? Death gets us to bring more death.
Survival gone awry.
Yeah.
That's how you described it. Survival, which is supposed to be a good thing, now causing non-survival. All right. We will see you in a new location. Or maybe we'll wrap. Are we going to wrap?
Maybe we got to wrap now, yeah.
Maybe we'll wrap. This was a short version of Cold Plunge. We have been asked to leave by law enforcement. If we choose to come back, then we'll just start speaking again. If not, thank you for joining us, and we hope to be here more consistently for you in this medium. If not, please check out my Instagram channel where I've been putting out short videos. Bird is featured in some of them. And I'm also putting posts on there, blog posts, writing. I'm trying to put out all different types of things, and hopefully we have a bunch of other artists who I'm gonna try to start getting into action and featuring their work. So it was nice touching base, and we'll talk to you soon.